Hi.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host my show, Live Plan for Happiness. You know, today our guest is Whitney Burns. Now, is it with two, one T or one? Or two?
One T.
One L-I-T. T, now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you are, I know that you've done a lot of, like, criminal stuff. Would you describe yourself as a medium?
I'm a clairvoyant and a channeler, a medium. My forte is not really doing criminal psychic work. It's more helping people to grow and giving them information about themselves and their families, or communicating with loved ones or those on the other side, and also working with children. So that's more my forte. And people can go ahead. I'm sorry.
Let's bring out your website in the beginning.
Okay. My website is Litany Burns, LitanyBurns.com, and I hope people will come and visit me, and there's a lot of interesting things, giving forecasts and answering questions about psychic phenomena, and telling a little bit more of what I do and about my books and things that I've accomplished.
Now, what are some of the books that you've written and are going to write?
I have published Develop Your Psychic Abilities. It's been published by Pocketbooks and Barnes & Noble, and now it's an e-book. And I also have another book called The Sixth Sense of Children, which is published by Penguin Putnam and is also an e-book. You can find that in Amazon or on my website. And I'm now in the process of showing around another project, and I'm also working on some film projects as well as a documentary project on intuitive children.
Okay. Yeah, I thought that's what you were going to say, because you started like you were going to say something, and that's what I was going to say. Am I right?
So you must be intuitive.
Well, sort of. I try to be. Hell.
We all are, and some of us are more talented in certain areas of our psychic abilities than others, but we're all here using them every day.
Yeah, the way I look at it is you have to, I believe the word is, drop your guard. The term is drop your guard in order to, you know, be able to read, which sort of leads into my next question.
Well, first I wouldn't say drop your guard. I'd say get out of your head and listen to what you know.
Yeah, well, the reason I guess maybe your explanation might be able to explain something, this next question.
Okay.
You know, you strike me as the kind of person that if I walked up to you and I saw you on the street and I, you know, wanted to give you a hug, you probably hug me back. That would be my interpretation of you. And that's been a while, my interpretation of a lot of the psychics I've interviewed and I've talked to. I mean, you know, they're warm, they'll give you the shirt off their back.
I kind of find that true of most people that are intuitive, not just professional psychics. I mean, isn't that the way of children? And when we're connected to this other part of ourselves that connects us to everyone, there's more of an openness and a loving that you become connected to.
Well, you know, like a good story is my nephew Van. He was I'm at my parents' beach house, and I was going to go for a walk. And this is sort of intuitive because it was like he could get people to open up. And then what happened was that we stopped, you know, and then he wanted to go play with a pail of a little toy shovel of a couple, and he did it without asking. And I was like, Van, don't you think you should ask? And then the couple was like, it's okay, it's all right, you know. And then as he's about ready to leave, you know, he did something totally out of, you know, unexpected. Because, you know, he had said he didn't ask and anything. He didn't ask. So he walked up to the lady and goes, thank you for helping me. And he hugged her.
Yeah, you'll find also that children are great barometers of people that are more intuitive and connected. Even if adults can't stand them, you always find the baby or the little child that goes up to the irascible grandfather that nobody can stand in the family and goes and sits in his lap or something like that,
right?
Because they can sense beyond the mental defenses.
Well, the point I'm trying to get at is that they are, you know, he was able to kind of, like, even though that was, you know, it's like he should have asked, what he did was, you know, the very appropriate thing, the very sweet thing, is that he hugged her at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like he was thankful for, you know, he was thankful for letting her play with the pail. But the point I'm trying to get at here is, okay, I guess I'll tell you this story. That's a story about my nephew, because this is sort of related to what we're doing. And I'm glad he's not hearing this story. My nephew is not hearing this particular radio, because this is sort of something that they kept from him because of his, you know, his age. One of his tutors, you know, committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it was over a, I forgot it was a father or something, you know, I forgot the whole details of it. And they didn't want to tell Van that. So what they told Van is that, well, she died of heart problems, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And literally, I mean, you know, she did it, you know, my mom would sit down and talk to Van, and Van says, you know what, I'm just going to go talk to her right now. And then he immediately started, like, breaking onto a conversation with her,
mm-hmm.
telling her how he wanted her to come back.
It's not uncommon for children, even children who don't even, haven't even met people, you know, a lot of people tell me stories, and I read for a lot of families and children just through photographs, which is psychometry. The child doesn't have to be there. And, you know, a young child will talk about when they were in their mother's womb and what happened, or they'll see a picture of someone who's deceased and be talking about them and with facts that, you know, that no one told them, you know, the old out of the mouth of babes, because they're connected. They're still connected before they learn all the mental defenses.
Well, another,
separating.
Yeah, and another thing about children, when I was younger, and this has to goes back to, like, Mercury, you know, Jupiter, messenger of the gods, I was, my sisters, they used to send me all over the house to get things. And I wrote about this later on. Now, the thing that you got to know about one of my sisters is this sister. I'm a particular sister. I'm telling, the reason I'm bringing her up is one, because of the story, but two, she is the biggest skeptic you'll ever see. But this is something that she didn't realize. She would say, "Okay, Johnny, go upstairs and get me my such and such." It'd be like her purse or makeup kit or something, and then I would go upstairs. Now, remember, I want you to imagine this. She's downstairs, I'm upstairs. And she says, "Okay, go upstairs and get something, okay?" And then down, then as I'm looking through it, this is what I said to her. You mean this thing right here? And she goes, no, not that thing. It's the thing that's right next to it. You can't miss it. Okay, it's right next door. It's right next to it. Look left. And then I, as I look left, I say, "You mean this thing?" You're laughing because you see what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
She has no idea what it is she's doing. And you know, I said, you know, and in retrospect, I realized that socially, that is a really strange thing to ask someone to do. Go into another room, pick something out. No, that's not it. No,
right.
No. Go left. Yeah.
That's called remote viewing, right?
Yeah, that remote viewing. And this woman, you know, it's like, it's so funny. My sister's a skeptic.
Well, the interesting thing I find about a lot of skeptics are that a lot of them just they're not educated about it. And also, they probably have a lot of ability, and it kind of scares them, so they turn off on some level to it. It doesn't mean they don't have it. And by the way, everybody has abilities. So even if you haven't used them since you were a child, they're still there. They're part of you. It's
but,
like,
yeah, you understand now. Let's see, the point, I guess, of what I'm trying to say about the story is that children don't understand the social aspects of that. They don't realize, you know, you're supposed to be
Block off and not blurt out things.
You know, you're supposed to be in the same room to give. And as soon as I told you that story, I heard you laugh, because it was just like, okay, wait a minute, this girl doesn't realize what she's doing.
Exactly. Most
I mean,
people
she
don't.
Realized, I mean, do you realize what it is that you're doing? You don't just, and it's so funny is that I told my other sister about it, because all three of them did it, And she laughed her head off. She goes, Johnny, yes, we did do that. I mean, it was obvious. I mean, it was, Mom got after us. My mother will verify this story. Mom got after us. She got after us because she got after all three of them because they sent me all over the house. It was like, you know, it was like, it was always, okay, go pick up the Diet Coke. Okay? The Diet Coke is on, it's on the table. Okay? You mean right here? No. Go to the left.
That would get us into the family. But, you know, for most people, they take their abilities for granted. They don't even think about them, and they think it should be a big thunderbolt from heaven, and then they kick themselves later for not listening to themselves.
Yeah. But, you know, but now I wanted to get into something, and I started to get into it earlier, but I didn't get a chance to. And this has to do with, you know, when you cover the Son of Sam, mm-hmm. and you're this, like, warm person, how do you cover something so violent, so horrible? I mean, because, you know, I have read that policemen, they develop sort of, they can appear to be kind of cold because they cover so many murder scenes, rape scenes, drug scenes, not, you know,
mm-hmm.
violent scenes, criminal scenes, that they sort of develop a desensitivity to it. They become jaded to it. They don't really see, it doesn't really affect them anymore, and in a way it's kind of a bad thing because they don't realize what it is that's happening.
Right.
And, you know, you're supposed to be not only aware of what's going on, you're supposed to be super aware of what's going on. So if I were to go into a scene of, you know, a man axe murdering his wife and chopping off her head with an axe, that would upset me big time. But it seems like it would be 10 times as upsetting for you because not only are you supposed to pick up what happened, you're supposed to pick up, I mean, like, you're not supposed to pick up what you see. You're supposed to pick up what happened, what was going through the mind of the victim when the axe hit the, you know. How do you do that without losing your mind and not being able to sleep at night?
Well, first of all, I was asked by the Manhattan DA to go to the police academy where there was a letter that was written by Son of Sam given to Jimmy Breslin at the time,
mm-hmm.
who was a writer. And the only thing that I got to use that was tangible at the time, because they had no idea where this person was to hold that envelope and give information about this person. And gave them information. I know that certain police use psychics, but they were so desperate back then. I don't think they were, you know, now it's normal for psychics to work with police. I don't think that was so normal then. And yes, it was difficult because so many, you felt such a responsibility and a sense of what was going on. But I think as with anything, if you want to be a good reader, you have to somehow separate yourself and your own physical self and your mental self and try and stay centered in yourself so that you can receive information. And I felt so, it was so important to be able to try and get some information that would be helpful so no one else would be hurt. It wasn't, for me, it wasn't like I was at the scene because there was no scene. They never knew where he was going to strike again.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a little different in that way. And of course, anything like that or anything that has to do with anyone, you have an empathy, but you have to really work with yourself to stay balanced so you don't lose yourself. Otherwise, you're right. I'd be strapped in a gurney and thrown in.
Well, like, okay, let's say that you're watching, you're sitting at home and you're watching television, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you see Charles Manson
mm-hmm.
on the screen. Now, we all know, I'm not really, this isn't really asking you for a reading because...
No, but you can feel uncomfortable. I mean, I personally don't like watching horror movies or anything like that.
I am the same way.
I think being sensitive, I mean, it's really hard to kind of deal with extremes in behavior and whatever, but being able to stay in yourself, it kind of gives you a little separation from the person so that you're not losing yourself and all
tell
the
me if,
other
tell
person.
Tell me if you like this, okay, because this is the thing. I have someone who is very, 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 very close to me. I mean, just she's really important to me. If something happens to her, I worry about her. I mean, you know, she's very, I won't say her name because she's so private, but I won't say, I mean, but she
no,
is.
You don't have to.
She has been in movies.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one particular movie that she was, but she got strangled.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I said, you know, I am okay with seeing all your movies. I'm okay with seeing all of them. But I will not watch the one where you're strangled. It's just, it's upsetting. It's, first of all, the reason is that it's unnecessary. I mean, you know, I mean, we can live in a world where we don't strangle each other. You know, the world is going to come to an end if you know, we don't put our hands around each other's throats, you know.
Right.
And what I saw, and another good example is like, do you remember the movie Air Force One with Harrison Ford? Now, I don't know the actress, but I can't watch the scene. And that's the scene where I think he gets the secretary or something, and he sits her in a chair, and he counts to 10, and Harrison Ford's character. You know the scene I'm talking about, right?
I think so.
It was so intense, I couldn't remember the dialogue.
It's hard to even watch the natural the Discovery Channel with the animals killing each other. I mean, it's hard to watch these things because, again, it's violence, and violence is not a natural thing, so it's really hard to...
At least as far as, you know, it's something, at least when you're civilized. You know, I think that when you get to be like, I don't think we have to, you know, oh, God. I mean, it's so hard. That's why I don't understand how you can do that.
Well,
I mean, you know...
You have to decide if you have to kind of leave yourself aside sometimes to be able to help where it's necessary. For example, I worked after 9/11. I told people I was a counselor, and I went and helped at the pier where they had all the people helping the survivors. And at one point, people had gone to the ceremony and received ashes, I guess, from there. And there were some people that didn't go. And everybody, whoever was in the pier, just volunteered, and we went wherever we were asked to go. And it was a lovely grouping of tons of people helping. So I was asked to sit at a table across from the people who had lost people in Oklahoma City. And people came and sat before me. And I was supposed to tell them on behalf of the city of New York and give them the ashes. So I really had to kind of center myself and not get lost in all this awful, awful feeling for these people. And afterwards, after I did it, I just physically got sick because it was just too much for me.
Right. I know. See, that's a good example.
I wanted to separate myself so I could at least be helpful and comforting to people who
were
pain.
I think what you went through as far as feeling sick was normal. I mean,
yeah, it was normal.
I mean, it was sort of, I mean, we're supposed to, I mean, what are we supposed to say to 9/11? I mean,
it was, but what I'm saying is,
I mean,
lack
of a better term, if there's just one word that we can describe all that, and that is evil.
Well,
I mean,
I don't think of life in terms of good and evil. A lot of people do. But I just, you know, more than anything, I think it was just having empathy and compassion for the people and trying to comfort them as best I could.
Right.
So sometimes you have to get out of your own way and your own feelings. And a psychic should do that anyway. They should be able to kind of, I don't mean separate and become another person, but kind of step back in themselves and their own reactions in order to be able to be clear and to be helpful and be kind of a conduit. And what you do after that is up to you, but in
no,
that
I will
moment,
say, sorry.
I want to be clear.
I will say this. You know, like, my father was a psychiatrist for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And he, and it is, you know, something to think about. How does he do all that without going crazy? Cause
yeah, you can't retain everything, or else you would be. I mean, I remember walking down the street and seeing someone, and this guy said to me, "You know, I've never walked on the same side of the street as you all these years because I felt you could read my mind." And I said, "First of all, why would I want to? Second of all, I could read your mind if you were in Australia. And third of all, if I was reading minds, my mind would explode and I'd be taken away and locked away. So it's really not what you do."
Walking you down the street is the same street? What are you talking about?
A person walking down the street would feel that if he was in my physical vicinity that I could read his mind.
Who told you this?
Someone that I knew, or that I knew where I live, and I had to explain to him that I could read your mind wherever you are, but I don't really read minds, nor would I want to, because there's so much garbage in them, you know, my mind would explode. So that's not quite what psychics do, so I think people don't understand exactly the dynamic.
I know, I just don't understand that simply.
We are sensitive, and when I teach a class, I'll ask people how many people were told that they're too sensitive, and the people that raise their hands will go, "Well, you're the mediums, you're the channelers." Because they are the people that are super sensitive, and they vote in our culture, being sensitive is not something that's awarded. It's something that's looked down upon.
Or punished.
Punished, and because a lot of kids who are hurting themselves and being given prescription drugs, and people who are numbing themselves through alcohol and drugs because they are so sensitive.
You make it sound like Ritalin and antidepressants are what hinder psychic ability.
Well, yeah, what I'm saying is that a lot of people who are on prescription drugs don't, you know, there are people that do need them, and there's, you know, that's clinical, but there are, you know, there are a lot of prescription drugs that are given out like candy. I mean, kids know, teenagers know how to talk to a psychiatrist now to get Adderall so they can study for a test. They know exactly what to say, and the doctor gives it to them.
Well, the problem is that the
society
is that the you know, they know the symptoms. So, like, if you know, doctors, they prescribe based on symptoms. So, if you told someone, "Okay, doctor, here's the problem." See, you cannot, if you walk in to a doctor and then you say, I'm not saying I've ever done this. I mean, I was honest, you know, I knew what I had and I,
yeah,
you know.
I'm not against doctors prescribing. I just think that it's symptomatic of our society, that there are deeper issues and there are other ways to deal with it.
So what I'm
going to
say is that they go by symptoms. So if you told a doctor, and you said, "Okay, doctor, all right, here's the thing. I sort things, you know, and I touch things." The problem was that what I was telling him was true. You know, I mean, I wasn't really making it up or anything. I was just telling him stuff that was true. It was like, okay, I thought I was the only one that did it. I had obsessive compulsive disorder. And I said I would touch things, but I had to touch things twice. I had to, you know, close doors. I had to close doors twice. I had to, you know, and I had to, like, I was obsessed with good luck charms. I had to wear 10 of them, and, you know. And,
yeah, and there are people that definitely, once they have, you know, the compensation of the medication, they function very well, and I think that's wonderful. I mean, it's very helpful. But there are a lot of people that they may have some symptoms, but they're just kind of tossed off in this big barrel. And I just think that I'm not against modern medicine. Truthfully, I'm not. But I just honestly think that we've got a society that's kind of off kilter, not because of medicine, but because of the way we live.
I also read that you read for Madonna. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Yes, twice.
Before or after she was famous?
While she was famous.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't, it's, you know, people were saying, well, you should charge her more. She was another person that I read, and, you know, I very much hesitate to mention all the famous people that I've read for because it's their privacy. I don't really, I
That's
feel like
true.
For you or I wrote for Madonna, it's still her privacy, and I still wouldn't divulge anything I said because it's her privacy. I, actually, when I first met her, I said, I always ask people if they've had readings before so I can explain how I read, and she said, yeah, the last psychic she went to sold everything to the star.
Well, also, another thing that I will tell you about her is that when she was young, she went to see a psychic, and the psychic told her that she was going to be famous. But the funny thing about that is, I'll tell you another psychic who saw one when he was younger and told him that he was going to be in films, and it really surprised me that the story that I heard. And you know who it was? Chuck Norris.
Okay.
Now, you know why that is surprising to me, right?
Because he was not in film at all.
No. Chuck Norris is a devoutly religious man, and I'm not saying you're not, but what I'm saying is that there are some people out there who, when they hear the word psychic, you know what happens.
Yeah, there are, but I have to say there are a lot of people that are religious that are very open, and they still have their religion and their beliefs, and it's surprising to see how many people, I've read for rabbis and priests and people who are very religious and people who are very are into spirituality in a different way, and you'd be surprised because it's really not something that's anti-religion.
Let me ask you something. Do you feel, well, actually the problem is that you could pretty much say anything is anti-religion if you really worded it the right way. When you were a kid, was it much more intense than it is now, or was it as intense?
Well, actually, I tell people, I'm not more psychic than you, I'm just more practiced. But as a kid, it wasn't anything that was nurtured, and I just kind of felt like I was way too sensitive, and I didn't understand any of it, and I would feel like I was wrong because everybody else was thinking something else. So it wasn't as if I, felt like I was more intuitive. I think it was maybe being punished or punishing myself and feeling less than because of it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a society where we measure things by intellectual achievement and not
we're a right-brain society, not a left-brain society, is what you're saying.
Well, no, I'm just saying that, our society is based on certain values that do not include the intuitive, although most people who are successful use their intuitive abilities and rely on them, but it's just not that type of society. But it's getting there. It's really
mm-hmm.
being so much more open than when I first started reading for people.
Yeah.
When I first started reading, people would, not even have eye contact with me in a social setting. And now, if I mention that I'm a psychic, people are just it's like a magnet. They all really want to hang out with me or find out.
Yeah, when I started doing shows, I've had so many questions. It's like people say, okay, when you read her, ask her this, oh my God, can I call in? I'm like, yeah, I'm sure you can call in.
You become a pet rock. People really, you become their psychic. This is my psychic. Like, you're not a person.
Another thing. Yeah, that's another thing. I never wanted to intrude on someone's personal life.
It's interesting. I remember a man wanted to have a reading. He goes, and he kept trying to test me to see if I was good enough. And I finally got tired of, being generous to him because he was so intrusive. And I just said, let me ask you a question. If you had to see a brain surgeon, will you ask him to perform a little surgery on you before he went for an operation?
Actually, let me tell you, it's funny that you asked that because let me tell you something else. And this has to do with the skeptics. The problem is that at some point you're standing in front of a doctor. You know, the thing is, though, is that the way it works is that with the psychics, we test the psychics, but then after we test them, we say, okay, well, now, obviously you did that with a trick, right? So we're going to have you do it again. Psychic does it again. Okay, well, now you tricked me last time, okay?
Yeah, you're always tested. You're always good as your last reading.
It's like, okay, well, you know, you did a reading for him. Okay, do reading for me. Okay, well, I don't want to do a reading for you. Oh, that, sorry. No.
Exactly.
And it's sort of funny because, you know, it's like the, case where, I don't know if you have any kids. And if you don't want to answer that, you don't have to. But what I was going to say is that, you know, they say when a person has a child, that it's the greatest group of God that there is, you know, at least one of the proofs. And the funny thing is that this woman can give birth to a child, hold a baby in her arms, and then, you know, and then say, oh, yes, this is proof, you know. And then something horrible happens a year later, and then she questions her faith, you know.
Yes, I know.
It's like she's completely forgotten what happened, you know, a few years earlier, you know.
Yeah, this happens with people, and I don't ask people to believe anything. I just ask people to be open to everything, that's all, because you don't have to believe or not believe. It's not a question of belief. It's just a question of being open, you know, to experiences. And I find that more and more people are. And I think it's healthy that people explore, but it's more healthy that people are open to anything, not just psychics, but anything, just, you know, and make their own wise decisions. If we had a little more wisdom in the world, I think we'd be better off.
Well, it was good having you on.
Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, I hope we can do it again.
All right. Well, you take care.
Right. Bye.